Pat, I forgot to ask, can you hear the fish tank?
Seems okay.
All right, great. We'll ignore it. Cool. Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. My name's Sung Soo, and I definitely don't have a fish tank next to me. And joining me now from across the pond, you don't own a fish tank, do you, Pat?
I do not own any kind of animal.
Well, you don't have to have an animal to have a fish tank. You could just have the fish tank.
Because I enjoy the ambience.
Yeah, like my wife keeps a terrarium with just plants in it.
That's true. That's true. But no, I don't have a fish tank. I'm sorry.
Do you have many houseplants?
The ones we have are barely hanging in there. The ones on the balcony, I think, are like shadows of their former selves. So I technically have houseplants, but I wouldn't trust me to keep houseplants.
I always like those enclosed terrariums where you like take a bottle and you like set up this ecosystem and you cork it. I always thought those were really cool. I've never had one like last more than a couple months, though.
No, that's the problem with plants in general, in my experience. I don't have a green thumb.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so joining me a moment from across the pond is my co-host and dear friend, Pat Dunford. And today, well, we're going to finish up our bracket today. But first, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing great, TT. I'm riding high on the exciting breaking news of an unexpected errata to MCP that might even shake up this episode, right? Definitely makes the bracket competition a little bit less of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. We'll see. How's your weekend? Good? How's your New Year? We are recording this right after Lunar New Year, which Pat and I both celebrate to some degree.
Yeah, mine was fantastic. Just as you'd expect, spent with family, lots of food, lots of drinks. How about yours?
Same. Yeah, a lot of eating, which, you know, can never complain about.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Eating's great. Eating's fantastic. Can't complain about that. So, Pat, do you have a sleeve or heave it?
I do. Speaking of things that are great, I wanted to check in on this card, Double Agent, which is Spider-Woman's card. It's unaffiliated reactive, and it says, at the start of the activation phase, Spider-Woman can spend 2 power to play the card. You choose an enemy character, and when that character gets their activated token, you remove an activated token from Spider-Woman. Now, I thought this card was interesting to look at, TT, because I remember when we reviewed this a long time ago, we were kind of juries out on how good is Double Agent. And I think it's fun to check back in and see, has it stood the test of time? Do we think now that it's a card that should be sleeved or heaved?
So I'm not going to lie. When you asked me about the card, I couldn't remember what it did. And then I had to look the card up and like, oh, I do remember this card. For having an insanely powerful effect, I don't think the card is actually that good.
No, and obviously it's not a good sign that you had to look it up, right?
Probably not.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Spider-Woman, right? She's a really useful role player in basically all of her affiliations, and she's in tons of affiliations, right? She's in A-Force, Avengers, Cabal, not Cabal, sorry, Hydra, Web Warriors, of course. So she's all over the place. And because she has the ability to steal extracts, she's like one of those coveted splashes that you can see included in basically any affiliation from time to time. That being said, I hardly ever see this card, right? And even with rosters that are intending to play Spider-Woman frequently, Double Agent doesn't seem to be making the cut.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I mean, I think
why do you think that is?
I think the first thing to talk about is, right, she just doesn't have great power dynamics in the games I've played her.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that double power early in the phase has been
hit
or miss for me. And then I also don't like, she's not a model that I love double activating. I know that sounds weird, but she normally has like a specific goal. It's not like she's just Cosmic Ghost Rider pre or pro errata, right? Where she just pounds the crap out of people. Like getting an extra bioelectric strike is fine.
Fine. Yeah, it is literally fine. It's not exciting. For sure. She's got kind of the wrong profile to be really good with this card, right? Because firstly, she's not very good at building power, right? Because she's got a 5 dice builder, and she's also a model who is naturally pretty resilient and pretty evasive. So she spends a lot of time minimizing the damage she takes and not necessarily making double attack actions. So she just, her power generation, I think, is just below average, which is fine. You know, that's an aspect of her character. But it means that, firstly, spending two power for this card is a big opportunity cost on her compared to some characters. And secondly, as you mentioned, right, like having a double activation with her is not that exciting if she doesn't have that much power. Because you're right, like a lot of the time with Spider-Woman, you're like, well, I'm going to zip in, spend a U, pick the thing up and survive, and that's good enough. I don't then need to use this card to run away a long way. And I certainly don't particularly want to spend this card to make a couple of five dice attacks with extreme conditionality on them.
Yeah, like I've seen it used with all webbed up to be interesting, but again, then I kind of think we're turd polishing. And like you talked about, ideally she wants to long move in, right? She wants to use her spender, whose name eludes me, but costs three. She then needs to pick up probably the objective you cost. That puts us up to four power.
Yeah.
And then she needs two more in order to utilize the tactic, which obviously would have had to be used beforehand, right? So start of the round, she has at least six power. We use this. We activate her. We come in. We pick it up. Then they activate the model, and then she runs away. Like, that's your best case scenario? Maybe your best case is she's already stuck in.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably your best case is something like all webbed up. She attacks and murders some people. They activate a character and she attacks and murders some more people.
Yeah.
Assuming your all webbed up turn is your best turn for webs, right? And then this is like a force multiplier for that. The extra activation maybe is valuable there. I mean, certainly in other affiliations, the best case seems way worse. I'd also add that in your analysis of things she wants to do on her turn, you should throw in there that she'd also quite like to have two power to use I Don't Fly, I Glide, right? Which is another tax on her power. Right, and it's another big opportunity cost on this card, as it's costing the same amount.
Yeah, I guess that's the big thing. Is like, I think like that place costing two is just going to be generically more useful than the second activation sometimes.
Yeah, and I think the other problem I have with this card in practice is Spider-Woman a lot of the time is a model who doesn't particularly want to activate early in the round because she is not a high damage dealer. You know, and traditionally, you want to activate your models with biggest impact first, right? Or you want to activate your fragile models first. And she both doesn't have a high damage output and also is not very fragile. So she's a low priority to activate first. But this card places, it forces you and your opponent to activate those models pretty quickly. Otherwise, you can counter each other, right? Like, if you play this card and then your opponent just activates the model you played it on before you activate Spider-Woman, it hasn't done anything. So you're kind of forced to activate Spider-Woman before their target, which means she kind of has to go early, which is not necessarily what she wants. And yeah, she can do her second activation late, and that's great, but it's not like she's necessarily doing two optimal activations at optimal points in the turn.
Yeah, so again, a really powerful effect. I don't think it is as earth-shattering. Yeah, I just don't think it's a great card, which is crazy, because on some characters, this card would be ridiculous. And yeah. Spider-Woman's a great character.
Yeah.
This, on her, just is not the most amazing combination ever.
It's interesting, right? It's really interesting to talk it through, because I completely agree with you. This card could be sensational, and Spider-Woman's great, but it's just a bad match for her kit.
All right. I don't think there's anything. So are we both sleeving or heaving it?
Yeah, we're heaving it. Like, I've been playing Web Warriors with Spider-Woman, and this does not make my 10.
Yeah. All right. So we're back to the bracket. So if you didn't follow last episode, we had a little tournament bracket. We paired a bunch of teams up against each other, and we're talking about them in context to each other and kind of who we have moving on. So moving into this round, we have Wakanda, Spider-Foes, Brotherhood of Mutants, Criminal Syndicate, X-Force, Hellfire Club, Sentinels, Guardian of the Galaxy, Convocation, which was pretty cool, S.H.I.E.L.D., Asgard, and Webs. And obviously there has been a little bit of a change, right? Cosmic Ghost Rider got readjusted. Is that a nice way to put it?
That's a very nice way to put it. Yeah, he got nerfed into Oblivion.
Oh, you think it's into Oblivion? Do you want to talk about this real quick?
I'm obviously exaggerating, but he received a series of nerfs that definitely reduces power level by a big chunk, which is exciting, right? Because he was feeling a little bit oppressive, and it certainly helps to refresh the metagame and puts a big question mark over how things are going to settle and who's going to emerge as the new top dog.
Yeah, and we're doing this pretty much on the heels of this But yeah, we'll still run through the bracket. And first up, we have Wakanda versus Spider Foes. This is an interesting one, right? Because not all the Wakanda models are out yet, the new ones.
Yeah, they're coming out kind of as we speak. King T'Challa and Killmonger Usurper. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that box has a huge impact on Wakanda, honestly, because I think Killmonger is kind of a side grade from his original version. He's not a bad model to play, but I think in terms of this kind of metagame question of how much he helps you, would he help you beat Spider Foes? I don't think especially, no. I also don't think the tactics cards in that box have a massive impact. Once again, they're not bad, but I don't think they move the needle. I think they give you more options, but not necessarily more powerful ones. Because Wakanda's tactics cards are already off the charts insane. With their turn one Spirit of Wakanda plays that also requires advanced R&D. Plus you've got Wakanda Forever and suddenly you just don't have a lot of slots left. So more tactics cards isn't really what Wakanda is looking for. And I personally really like King T'Challa. I think he's very powerful and dangerous. But original Black Panther is also fantastic and has stood the test of time. And an errata to reduce his power level, and he's still one of the better four threats in the game. So, like, I feel like the new stuff is cool and not bad, but I'm not immediately thinking it makes Wakanda a lot more powerful.
Yeah, I think Trial by Combat is the most interesting tactic card they picked up, and I think that is honestly probably more fun to talk about than it is to use on the table.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the same thing as, like, King T'Challa is great. The problem is I really like Black Panther.
I have to say, though, I do think that in this kind of matchup, like, I would consider, I'm dabbling a little bit with Wakanda right now, as I'm dabbling with many things, and I would definitely put King T'Challa into my Wakandan 10 and sometimes play him instead of Black Panther. And into Spider Foes is one of those matchups where I would consider bringing him in, because Black Panther... can't push Rhino, and he's not a bad character in the matchup, but he's going to spend a lot of time chasing models and trying to kill them, and the Spider Foes models are pretty resilient to his plan, right? Like, I don't think he's a very good model into Mysterio. I don't think he's a great model into Rhino because he can't push, although his damage is fine. I think he struggles to kill Lizard, who's a cheaper model than him, right? And not to say he's bad, but he's nothing special in that matchup. And I think King T'Challa could be interesting as kind of a hunter killer who can just swoop in and obliterate some of those Spider Foe models and actually give you some of the damage output you might want to put them on the back foot, considering that they are probably best off playing the scenario game with Doc Ock into Wakanda.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you would just consider running like King T'Challa and Killmonger out there and just try to pick up models?
Yeah, you probably supplement it with M'Baku to use M'Baku's leadership.
Mm.
And I think M'Baku matches up pretty well into Spider Foes because he's only really vulnerable to energy and there aren't many Spider Foes that use energy. The big one being Green Goblin, of course, who's not that popular. So I think that kind of team that's going a little bit narrower with some more high threat models could be interesting against Spider Foes. You can probably still have the same model count as them if you want, because of course you've got Okoye and they've got no two threat affiliated models. But I think that could be an interesting matchup. It certainly gives Wakanda a lot of tempo with high threat ranges, early damage, that's really powered out by their tactics cards. And I think that could be really scary for Spider Foes, who, you know, they like being attacked a little bit. They don't like having their models focused down.
Yeah, I mean, Doc Ock does have, right, the energy arm lasers with the incinerate on them, but I mean, two of them shouldn't down M'Baku.
Yeah, it's only like, four dice, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, what are we bringing in afterwards to clean them up? I do think the King T'Challa, it's like the premier version of what was a character archetype we gave to Baron Zemo? Did we call him an assassin?
An assassin, yeah. Fast, very hard-hitting, relatively fragile.
Yeah, the Vibranium Spear is great, right? I mean, six dice with the reroll or possibly the pull.
Yeah.
Energy equal damage done. This is real
gets
good.
Gets bonus dice with his leap. His leap gets turned on turn one with Spirit of Wakanda.
Yeah, and the leap is real good. Two-inch place, two extra dice. It seems pretty good.
Yeah, you throw in Mbaku's leadership, and he's getting basically an extra hit a turn with that because he's rolling so many dice. The chances of not rolling a wild are tiny.
Yeah, just flat damage reduction. He's a real good character. I guess I don't think we've covered him yet. So I think it sounds like we're both leaning Wakanda then, right?
Yeah, I think these are both really good teams, and they're both kind of on the cusp of being some of the best things in the game. And I think it could change a lot when the new Spider Foes come out. Obviously, that will give them a big injection. But right now, I think Wakanda has the edge over them.
Yeah, and I do think it's amazing how flexible Wakanda is for as small of an affiliation as they are. Really well designed, I think. So, all right, we got Wakanda moving on. Next up is an interesting one. We have Brotherhood of Mutants versus Criminal Syndicate. Multiple viable leaders in both. What are we thinking here, Pat?
Ooh, these second round matchups are tough, hey? This is a really close one, I think. Oftentimes, the premier way to play Brotherhood right now, the popular way, is to play a Mystique-based leadership with the really good Brotherhood models like Pyro, Juggernaut, Toad, right? And then to supplement it with Steals and Shenanigans, which are often criminal models, right? I often see Black Cat and Rhino as the unaffiliated models in a Mystique team. And you can throw in other cool things like Hulk or whatever, but that's a very common way to play Brotherhood. And of course, Criminals is doing the same, a very similar game plan. And they might also run models like Juggernaut, Toad. They might run their own Mystique if they're running things like Daredevil. So these can be teams that in the metagame can actually have very similar characters. And actually, friend of the podcast, AJ, is currently having a lot of success with a dual-affiliated criminal Brotherhood team in my local metagame, where he's running Mystique and Kingpin because the overlap is so strong.
So the overlap's strong, but we had to worry about the head-to-head here, Pat.
Yeah.
What do you think are like the deciding factors here?
So I think Brotherhood has a hard time, if they're Mystique-led, has a hard time putting down the very tough criminal characters. And once again, just to remind ourselves, we're assuming that Kingpin is like the premier criminal, right? Because he's the one that's most often played.
Yeah.
And the other three fighty ones are a little bit more interchangeable. You might take one of them to supplement Kingpin, but it can be your preference as to which one you prefer. Whereas Kingpin does his own thing and does it so well that he defines criminals a bit more. Okay. So I think Brotherhood teams with Mystique have a hard time fighting through criminals. And I think on average, criminals can outplay them in the scenario game. Having said that, Brotherhood is so flexible. If you're like, no, I'm a Brotherhood player that loves Magneto and I like playing Demons and Gamma, well then Kingpin starts to look real bad. And if your backup plan is Shadowlands Daredevil with rapid fire characters into Magneto's cover bubble, then that can suck for the criminals player. So there's definitely, it's hard to predict exactly because I think you'd really need to look at the rosters and say, okay, what kind, because both affiliations are so versatile, right? And they're so deep. What kind of teams do we prefer? But I think in the current metagame, both teams prefer to run around and score. And I feel like criminals are a little bit better at it than Mystique.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think Magneto is favored. I know he's out of favor. Maybe favored wasn't the best word. I know he's out of favor. I think Magneto can still beat Kingpin. It's been a while since I played it, if we're being honest.
I mean, Magneto is not very good at killing Kingpin himself, right? But it's just damage piece. His plan, if you've got Magneto on the table against Kingpin criminals, your plan is to start killing models and to otherwise hold on.
It's not the model we're killing, obviously.
No, obviously not.
Yeah, I don't know. I trust your expertise there, Pat, if you think it's a criminal's way.
I feel like, well,
Brotherhood has better tactics, right? We're just arguing that the preferred one of Mystique is just poor into the... They're running the same game plan and Kingpin does it better is what we're saying.
Yeah, I'd also say that Brotherhood tactics are very good, but they might not be better than criminals anymore. Because, of course, deception is restricted.
Mm-hmm.
And the only really compelling affiliated card for them is Asteroid M. Magnetic Refraction is good, but not necessarily in that matchup, right? If you're playing Kingpin, you don't care if Magneto is putting down Magnetic Refraction. because your plan is not really to do a lot of damage to Magneto or the people near him. And Criminals has a lot of good characters with good tactics cards now. So, sure. Yeah. I don't know. I think their tactics cards are close and their characters are close and their game plans are close, which is why it's so hard to judge for me.
That's right, Pat. I'm happy to default to where, I'm happy to move Criminals on.
Okay.
Criminals can take down the Brotherhood.
Nice. Congrats to them. But that's a close one. That's one of the closest matchups we've had, I think.
Yeah, I think another one. We have X-Force versus Hellfire Club now.
So X-Force are doing pretty well right now. I think they're really starting to shine. I think they've come into their own after the errata changes where all of their models got buffed, and they're just a really solid team made of really good models. But of course, Hellfire Club is also made of really, really good models.
Literally the best models, right? That's the...
Yes. I think in general, Hellfire Club is well set up to deal with this kind of team because so many Hellfire Club teams are made of really tough models who then add healing on top and will sometimes throw in other things to keep themselves alive, like maybe witty banter from Amazing Spider-Man or like Crimson Dynamo. You know, they might have a ton of different sources of shock through things like Beta Ray Bill as well. Like, they've got lots of layered defenses and they're definitely outscoring X-Force. So if I was the X-Force player, I would feel bad going into this matchup. I'd be thinking, oh boy, I need my dice to be good. I need those rerolls to be getting me successes, and I need to get some early dazes on models that if I don't get them, they're going to run away, they're going to heal a ton, and it's going to be really frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where the wheels fall off for me in this particular matchup, is exactly what you said. Like, X-Force can really only do one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, they don't have a ton of rerolls. They don't have a ton of modification.
They do have loads of rerolls.
Sure. I was comparing them to Guardians. I mean, they have one reroll from their leadership. They have an Incinerate out there. And then,
they've like half their characters have Incinerate, right? Most of their characters have dice modification, plus their leadership is extra dice modification.
Yeah. Sorry. I was looking ahead to the Guardians matchup there.
yeah, that's fair. So look, I think X-Force have a game, and I think one of the reasons X-Force are doing well right now is because they're made up of good, efficient models who have good action economy. They can move a little bit while still being able to double attack with most models in their team. And that definitely helps them to keep up with Hellfire Club. I'm not convinced that it's a good matchup for them because I think Hellfire Club can just do exactly what they don't want, which is stay out of their threat ranges, force them to spend move actions when they want to be double attacking, and then not get kills on their activations.
Yeah, I'm just looking over the rosters again. Yeah, I have a hard time seeing them pull it out.
Yeah, like Hellfire
is so resilient.
It's super resilient, and it's one of the very best things in the game right now. And X-Force is really good, but I have Hellfire like a little pip above it in terms of overall. And I also think it's good in the matchup. One thing I'm wondering in this matchup is, as the X-Force player, do you go on a mission to assassinate Emma Frost? Which is actually very thematic, I think, and pretty cool. But maybe that's your answer, is you don't squander resources trying to do chip damage to like Lizard and Beta Ray Bill, right? But rather you understand that Emma is a relatively weak model in terms of survivability, right? She's not benefiting from her leadership to survive as efficiently as the other models are. You can't displace models to move them off objectives to tamper with the leadership, but what you can do is just kill Emma Frost, remove the leadership that way, and then you can play fair against all of these models who are suddenly less resilient and also don't have the power for their shenanigans.
I assume we're going to have to dive to get to Emma, and our opponent's not going to help us and move Emma to the middle of the table.
Like, yeah, I assume Emma's standing as far back as possible, but I'm just thinking that models like Cable are really good at diving.
Yeah, but who else? That's where I run into here.
Well, Deadpool's not bad at it now with his range for guns and leg day. Often the splashes, like Psylocke is pretty good at it. Like, X-Force have a bunch of models that can be fine at diving. I mean, Psylocke is not a good matchup into Emma, right? Because, I suppose you can do energy, so it's fine, right? You'd rather have a physical attacker. Like, you can send someone like Logan after her, but that's a bit dubious considering her mystic attacks. I think it's probably models like Cable and Deadpool, plus any good unaffiliated model you have that might be a good assassin.
Yeah, I just don't think that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely not work, right? You can end up wasting a lot of models failing to kill Emma while all the important models score points on you and dunk on you, right?
That's basically how I imagine it going. And then you get the Emma kill, a turn too late, and you're already so far behind. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
that's why, like, is there a line maybe where you run the fastball out there? Like, can you get James there?
I think like fastball Wolverine? Special is fine, but bearing in mind that
Emma but then Frost Wolverine doesn't have any power.
Yeah, and using it on turn one is dubious. Like, you can do it, but I wouldn't expect to be able to get Emma on turn one unless
I think you have to set it up for it too, right? Where, like, Colossus and Wolverine have to be middle of the table.
Yeah, but then the problem is Emma, as soon as she's got two power, she can ignore collision damage. So that's a big chunk of the power of the card gone, right?
Yeah.
So I think the squad is good, and you can play a game, and you can probably beat Hellfire Club some portion of the time, but I think more often than not, Hellfire are going to come out ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I was just working through your dive line more. Yeah, I don't... I mean, I think if they get sloppy... Yeah, anyway, we don't need to go into... I think if they get sloppy with Emma, you could definitely pick her up.
Oh, yeah, I think you can really take advantage of mistakes that the Hellfire Club players make, right? And I think if you're the more skillful player, you can definitely outplay your opponent. And if you have good dice, then you can maybe even have games that feel really one-sided, where the Hellfire Club just don't really get off the starting blocks. But I think most of the time, you're going to have frustrating situations where you fail to kill models and then you lose on turn three.
Yep, sounds right. All right. So last time we moved Sentinels ahead because they obviously are designed to beat X-Men. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about Sentinels or do you want to talk about X-Men?
Yeah, well, obviously we talk about Sentinels. The X-Men lost.
All right. So Sentinels versus Guardians of the Galaxy, and Guardians obviously had a pretty big change. Do we want to recap what happened at Cosmic? There was, what, like four things that happened?
Yeah, there were four changes. One of them is not that exciting a change. It's like a function, just a literal errata change. But there were three errata changes that were nerfs, right? They were, firstly, Ghost Rider's spender. The power cost went from 6 to 8, so +2 power on the spender. Mm-hmm. Secondly, his chains... that pull you and incinerate you, got limited to once per turn. So he's only using that once a turn instead of potentially being able to pull a whole bunch of friendly and enemy models every round.
Which is huge.
Yep. And third, and I think this one is the most impactful change, is that his 5-dice power generation got moved to the cleanup phase, which has a couple of big implications. The first is it's functionally, another way of saying, doesn't happen on the first turn. Because you're moving it to the end of the first round rather than the beginning of every round, right? So Ghost Rider is getting 5 dice less power over the course of the game, maybe more, I'll come to that in a sec, and isn't having it on turn one. So Ghost Rider's turn run threat is way less oppressive, right? He can't just threaten to go anywhere, kill anything, which was his calling card in the past. Now, the reason it can actually be more power loss than that is because it's in the cleanup phase. If Ghost Rider dazes, then he would generate the power before he flips, and he won't generate the power because he's dazed. So on the turn you daze Ghost Rider, he also won't get any power in that cleanup phase as well. So in comparison to the old Ghost Rider, he's losing at least one set of 5 dice power, but sometimes two. And that's why there's that fourth errata, which basically says if Ghost Rider is dazed, he gets a psychosis token. Because otherwise, he would never have the opportunity to get it when he's dazed now that the power generation is in the cleanup phase.
Yeah, so pretty massive changes. I honestly don't... I mean, it's a pretty big nerf, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't normally throw that word around lightly here, but this is a lot...
Yep.
What do you think is the biggest thing? For me, it's his opening threat.
Yes. I think as the... I think that is the most immediate one, for sure. I don't know if it's actually the biggest, but it just gives you breathing room against him, right? Because you don't have to worry about, if my models move into the middle of the table, they're just going to die, right? And so that means playing against him is much more fun because he's not too oppressive. It also means playing with him, I'm sorry to say, is a lot less cool because that was one of the great things about him is you can put him in the middle of the table and you could threat, you know, as a damage dealing team, you could force your opponent not just to score all the points, right? You could oppress them a little bit. And then we've seen that things like old Malekith and Thanos and Deception all did similar things, right? And they've all received some amount of toning down over the years, right? Some more than others. But obviously, having that really oppressive threat projection is no fun to play against. And so I think you're right. That probably is the biggest change. But I think just the combination of having less power generation overall and the spender costing more is also a really big impact, because he's going to be using his spender a lot less. And his spender is sensational. That's where I think the real power of Ghost Rider lies, is that his activation can just be remove your character from the table. And as soon as he doesn't have the power to spender, his activations become a lot less reliable. And you can much more... If Ghost Rider's only plan is to double six dice attack you, even with Incinerate, that cannot be enough to kill models, either because they're tough or because of bad luck, right? But with the spender was like almost guaranteed to kill most things, right? It was like 90% chance to kill like a 6-hit point model. It's crazy. So now with him having less power and it costing more, you're just going to spend away less, and that's going to make his activations worse, and it's going to lead to situations where you activate him first, he fails, and your team starts to begin the downward spiral towards losing the game.
Yeah, now I don't think Cosmic is unplayable by any stretch. I do expect to see a pretty steep downturn in the amount that he's on the board. And there's been a lot of games where if... personally speaking, I've lost plenty of games to Cosmic where they are still really close, right? Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't take much to swing the game the other way, is what I'm trying to say. And obviously, Cosmic got hit decently.
Yes. So I agree. I think, look, Cosmic Ghost Rider and Guardians had an obscene win rate, right? So it's very good that he's powered down. And I also agree. I don't think it's too much. I think he's still a good character. I think his turn one threat projection of like just hopping forwards and double attacking somebody who goes to the midline is really good still, right? It's still, your opponent still can't just do whatever they want against him, but they can go to parts of the table where he isn't, right? So I think he's still a very good like central fighting specialist. I think he's still very good in things like Gamma. And I think he's also still interesting as just a late game assassin that can go, when he's got power, he can go to any bow on the board and do a big amount of damage. So I think he's really got a place still. But yeah, like you said, TT, there were some number of games that the old Ghost Rider would have won that the new Ghost Rider wouldn't. And that obviously makes teams with him worse. But that's good, because the teams with him in were too good before.
Yeah. So again, I'm happy with the changes in general. Yeah, and I think he's still a good character. So I think Atomic Mass Games did a good job of like balancing that out there.
Yeah. I'm definitely still gonna take him in Guardians of the Galaxy lists.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's an auto include like he used to be, which is great.
And I think there was some contention about how many big models you wanted in Guardians, right? I think it was interesting, like the recent LVO metagame pushed this to the extreme, right? Where the finalist and semi, like the two finalists in the Guardians mirror all had Thanos, Hulk, and CGR in their rosters, right? So they were embracing the big guys. I think a lot of Guardians players were not taking so many expensive models. And I think if you want fewer expensive models, you can choose now between Ghost Rider and other things, like those other two examples, right? Maybe you decide you don't need Ghost Rider, you'd rather play Hulk or you'd rather play Thanos. But Ghost Rider is still really tempting because he's still powerful and he's affiliated.
Yeah, it's fair. So, okay, back on target. Mm-hmm. We've Sentinels and Guardians of the Galaxy. Pat, do you still think after this, Guardians is still the best affiliation in the game?
Hard to say. Really hard to say.
They've got to be up there, though, right?
Yeah, I still think they're one of the best. Like, they were one of the best affiliations before Cosmic Ghost Rider came out, right?
That's my logic as well. And they're worse, but...
Yeah, like, yes. Like, a Guardians team that didn't play Cosmic Ghost Rider was still terrifying. And it will remain terrifying. And Cosmic Ghost Rider is still a tool in their arsenal. So I still... you're right. My gut feeling is Guardians are still one of the top tier teams in the game. We'll see how the metagame shifts, though. There might be some things that were being oppressed by Cosmic Ghost Rider that will make it harder for Guardians. they might find that it's easier for other teams to outplay them now because Cosmic Ghost Rider turned off a lot of counterplay, right? It was very hard to use things like Bodyguard and Defensive Tactics cards to stop Cosmic Ghost Rider. But it's way easier to stop other Guardians models in fair ways. So they have, I think they've got more opportunity to be displaced, I suppose is what I'm saying. But my feeling right now is, yeah, they're probably still one of the top dogs.
Okay. And sadly, I just don't think Sentinels is.
No, I think Sentinels is probably the bottom dog.
Yeah, and in the particular matchup, I think that just Guardians has enough burst. They'll flip some Sentinels early, and then the Sentinels just kind of cascade downhill from there.
Yeah, I don't. The Sentinels aren't really tough enough to handle firepower of that magnitude.
Okay, so we've got Guardians moving on to this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, interesting one. We have Convocation and Shield.
Wizards versus Spies?
I am not a wizard main here. They are the hardest on this list for me to evaluate.
Yes.
Do you think the wizards are sneaky enough? Can they pull it out versus the technomancers?
I do think the wizards are very sneaky. There's things about this matchup that I like for the convocation side. I really like Ironbound Books against a lot of Shield's game. Although Shield now is much more frequently running energy attackers with Invincible Iron Man. So that helps them a lot. I really like their place effect, defending against models like Nick Fury and Winter Soldier who make a lot of attacks. I think they've got things going for them, but I think Shield has just got so much depth, right? It's got lots of really good affiliated characters. It's got lots of viable game plans. It's got two great leaders, and it's got, like, both affiliations have more tactics cards than they can ever use, but the average quality of the Shield cards is way higher than the Convocation cards, in my opinion.
Well, and that's my same opinion personally for the characters.
Yeah.
Right, like, what Convocation character are you really excited about?
It's Sexy Strange, right? Everyone gets hot for Sexy Strange.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you.
But yeah, you're right. After that, it drops off pretty quick. Now that Dr. Voodoo is a fair model, like, Ancient One is also good, but not great, right? You're happy to play them, but they're not super compelling reasons to play an affiliation.
Yeah, I mean, right, Ancient One, Baron Mordo, Clea, Original yep. Strange, Voodoo, Magic, and Wong.
Yeah.
And, like, I know this isn't the best way to evaluate them, but, like, when was the last time you splashed one of those models?
Well, Wong gets a lot of attention.
Yes,
Wong Dr. does. Voodoo as well, but yeah.
Yeah, and again, a Voodoo is still really good. Like, Voodoo's another example of a character that they, quote-unquote, nerfed, who is still fine in his role, right? He's just not overly oppressive like he used to be.
Yeah. I'm splashing Ancient One in Wakanda right now. Just FYI. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool.
I've liked Ancient One.
Yeah. So I think Convocation are good, right? But one of the things Convocation do well is they just have a flexible core because they have no leader, right? And you then just have your game plan and put in good unaffiliated models. I think Shield, much more the affiliation is driving the game plan. It's one of the affiliations that maybe cares least about what unaffiliated stuff it's including.
Yeah.
And I think Shield are fantastic. I would rate them above Convocation. I think the matchup is weird and maybe Convocation win it just as much, but I still think Shield overall is a better affiliation.
All right. Moving Shield along. I don't think the next one warrants too much conversation, but we have Webs running into Asgard here.
Mm.
Now, do you think Webs takes a hit from there being less cosmic on their game? Obviously not relevant to this matchup, but in general, right, one of the reasons Webs was prevalent was because of Guardian or the Cosmic Guardian, correct?
Yes. So that's a really good question, TT, because I'll tell you what, if I am playing any team that is not like a super fast ready around team, like Hellfire, Webs, maybe Spider-Foes, maybe Wakanda, whatever, right? If I'm not doing one of those things right now, after the change to Cosmic Ghost Rider, I would be looking to switch out all my crises for Fighty Crisis. If I'm playing a mid-range team like Asgard or like Avengers, A-Force, whatever, right? Then I would be putting in the slowest crises possible because I think the immediate thing, because I think in the metagame right now, the fast teams are neck and neck with Guardians for most wins, and everyone else is kind of left in the dust. And part of the reason for that is everyone else has been taking fast crises to fight Guardians.
Yeah, kind of playing into the Webb's hand there, right?
Yeah,
you're bringing the crisis Webb's wants to play in order to counter Cosmic, and Webb's can kind of obviously capitalize on that by just being better than you are at that.
Yeah, I've had so many games recently where I've looked at my opponent's cards and I've said, oh, everything here is great for me. Right, I'm happy. I don't care. Don't care who has priority. I don't care whether you pick secures or extracts. I'm going to have a great situation. And I think if you're now playing a middle of the range, middle of the road team, you can't let that happen, right? You've got to assume that Guardians, at least in the short term, are going to be a bit less popular and a bit more beatable. And I think you've got to now plan for all these other teams that have gained a huge amount of popularity being the new top dog. And I think you've got to fight them, right? So I think something like Asgard doesn't stand a chance against Webs on like Riot Spark, for example, right? DMAP. But if you put them on demons, then Asgard can definitely give them a run for their money.
Okay. And again, I know that's kind of tangential to what we're talking about here. I understand what you're saying there, but I think we're in agreement here. Webs probably wins more of these than they lose, right? So I'm happy to just move Webs along here.
Yeah, I think this is a really... Yeah, go on.
I think the best case scenario for Asgard, Webs can still win those games. And if you end up with Webs crisis, Asgard just struggles to keep up.
Yeah, I completely agree. And also, a lot of the Asgard characters get annoyed with Webs because of their cheap models don't have a lot of action economy, and their expensive models are making like big attacks with no dice manipulation that often fail into Webs and their counterplay strategies, like charge sucks into Spider Tracker. Six dice attacks aren't the best into like three dice, reroll three. I think that, yeah, I don't think it's a good matchup for Asgard.
Okay. All right. We should be able to wrap up the bracket today, so let's keep going. We have Wakanda versus Criminal Syndicate now, going into round three.
Oh, so this is round three. Who's left? Who's left in
Wakanda, Criminal Syndicate, Hellfire Club, Guardians of the Galaxy, Shield, and Webs.
Okay, so we've got a top six.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly awkward for the bracket, but here
we'll go. We'll do a round robin at the top. It'll be great. It'll just be like a weird human centipede of affiliations.
That's what I'm here for. So sorry, this is Wakanda Criminal Syndicate.
Yes.
Oh boy. So this is another one that I think is very close and very interesting because it's two running around teams that can do a bunch of different stuff and can flex in different directions, right? Criminals can fight if they have to. Wakanda can certainly fight if they have to. I played this matchup for my TTS week 5. What week are we in? I don't know. I'm going to say week 4. TTS week 4 game this week, TT, against Diom Lord, the last season's champion. I was playing Wakanda. He was playing Criminals. And it reminded me about the dynamics of the matchup a lot, where Kingpin is basically just by default scoring more points. But Wakanda has a lot to say about it, right? Because you've got a ton of pushes on Black Panther and Shuri. Your Wakanda Forever turn can displace a very large number of models. And you're threatening serious damage output with Panther, with Killmonger. So I definitely felt, as the Wakandan player, I felt like I have the tools to fight this. And I can really make it work for me. That being said, that game was really hard. And Crossbones was a badass. You Crossbones Merciless Merc, he beamed the crap out of me and smashed Killmonger, so that was sad. But yeah, I was reminded of the matchup, and I feel like Wakanda has a slight edge. I think you can see Kingpin coming, and you can counter him with high speed, displacement, and good damage.
Okay. You've played this matchup way more recently than me. I'm happy to move the Wakandans along there. Do you think Criminals has any kind of advantage if they end up going the Daredevil route, or do you think Wakanda can just deal with that with the damage reduction?
I don't love the Daredevil route. I think it depends on the Daredevil team, but the classic rapid-fire Daredevil teams just can't really hurt Black Panther. Now, having said that, they can murder Shuri and kill Okoye from outside martial artist range. So they've got game, for sure. But I feel like you're probably... If you're a Kingpin first gamer and you've got Kingpin crises, Wakanda also have those kind of crises. You're probably playing a fast mission combo, and therefore you're priced into playing Kingpin. And I think at that point, Wakanda can beat you. So I think maybe you're, you know, a victim of your, I don't know what's the word, but you're kind of, it's a bad matchup for you if you've got your normal A game plan. I think if you're the kind of criminal player that's like, no, I'm all in on Claw and I'm playing Gamma Wave Claw as my A plan, then maybe you can make something work there. Because I think Rakunda is not expecting that and they don't have the tech for it.
Okay, fair enough. Happy to move Rakunda along then. Hellfire and Guardians, I think, is really interesting. Two affiliations you've played quite a bit in the last six to 9 months. How do you see this matchup bashing head-to-head?
It's a tricky one. I mean, these are two. So I think the best affiliations in the game right now, and this is, of course, with the caveat that Ghost Rider's just changed, so this could change everything. But ignoring the Ghost Rider change, the best affiliations in the game are Web Warriors, Guardians, and I would say Hellfire Club is right there neck and neck with Web Warriors. I feel like Web Warriors is better into Guardians than Hellfire Club is. I know that not everyone thinks that way. I feel like Hellfire Club has fewer models who are tougher, and that is not what you want against Guardians, because the Guardians models hit so hard, right? Just because of the leadership and the fact that they natively have decent dice pools. Like, I really worry that I'm going to put Lizard somewhere with Hellfire Club and then Cosmic Ghost Rider is just going to incinerate him and kill him.
Right? That's fair.
And I really worry that I'm going to say, you know, oh, my models are really resilient, and then Star-Lord's like, yeah, but I'm Star-Lord. Pop, pop, you're dead. So I feel like Hellfire worries. It's kind of like X-Force, right? Guardians need to power through the Hellfire models, and Hellfire wants to run away and heal. But I feel like Guardians is better at bursting through the tough models than X-Force. And maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe that's just pure bias talking. Maybe mathematically there's nothing in it. But it's kind of like this threshold, right? Of the team that just needs to survive and run away. And if I live, I get to heal and I gain power. And I'm very happy, right? You know, I heal from my leadership. Maybe I heal from Healing Factor. Maybe I heal from like Riot Spark, my favorite crisis for that team, right? Like, I have all these ways to heal. And if I survive, I run out of your range, I heal. But if I die, then the whole plan falls apart. And I feel like X-Force are just slightly to that point where I'm more likely to live than not. And I feel like Guardians, I'm more likely to die than live. But that's pretty biased. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel, though. What do you think?
I think Guardians was and is still the best affiliation in the game. Mm-hmm. So, that being said, could they be the best affiliation in the game and have a bad matchup? Absolutely. I don't think that's this. I would take Guardians over the field right now, so I would move Guardians along.
Okay, let's move Guardians along.
I also think just like, and I think this is just kind of the nature of MCP, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Pat. I think relying on defensive tech is just usually worse than offensive. Like, spiking a defensive role is just so much less impactful than spiking an offensive role inherently in the game. And we've just been shown that over, I don't know, years now.
So I definitely agree with you there, but the counter argument I would make is Hellfire Club have a lot of really good specialized defensive pieces at their disposal. And they have a plan to end the game quickly, right? They don't need to hold on for that long. But yeah, I'm happy to go with Guardians. I think this is really close. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if we find after the CGR changes, Hellfire beats Guardians more often than they lose. I think that's possible. I think with the old Ghost Rider, I think Guardians wins it more. And that's what I'm going to go with for now. We'll see how much the change moves the needle.
All right. Next up, Shield and Webs. Interesting matchup. Obviously, we talked about like Webs, Hellfire, Guardians being kind of our top here. Do we think Shield has a chance here? Are they able to present something Webs struggles with?
I don't think so. I think this is one of the hardest matchups for Shield. And the reason is, I think Shield has kind of, at its core, it's got two game plans that its core models do, and then it can branch off into other things, right? But game plan number one is a gun line that punishes aggression, right? Where they have a bunch of defensive tactics and synergies that mean that they really hurt the attacker, and then they do lots of small amounts of range damage, right? And that adds up. And so they chip you down while punishing you for attacking them. That game plan is awful into Web Warriors, right? Who have good defenses and stealth to resist long-range chip damage and have no real intention of beating you up, right? So they don't really care about things like High in the Sky very much and got your back and that kind of thing. I mean, they care about it, but less than most other teams, right? So I think that, like, classic Shield A plan, I think Web Warriors might be the best team in the game against that, honestly. They're certainly in contention. And then Shield's other plan is kind of like the new core set plan of, okay, I've got Spectacular Spider-Man, I've got Spider-Woman, I'm going to play a bit like Web Warriors. I've got really cool tactics cards, but what I don't have is a full team of Web Warriors, which the Web Warriors do, right? So I feel like that game plan is really good, but I can't imagine it's better than Web Warriors in what's effectively a mirror match.
Yeah, I think you're just Web Warriors light in that particular instance though, right?
Yeah, so I feel like your A plan gets hard countered by Web Warriors and your B plan is to be like a bad version of the opposing team. And I think both of those core plans are pretty horrible. Now, maybe there's some sweet tech that Shield players can include. I know that Shield players like to use Agent Venom to deal with Web Warriors. They like to play Mark for Death. I think if you're stacking enough stuff that's good into webs, then you can probably make it work, right? Like you can play models that keep up with webs, like Spectacular Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, and you can play models that hunt webs, like Agent Venom. And maybe those things combined, you can cobble together a plan that works really well into Web Warriors. But I don't know exactly what that plan looks like. That's kind of like my guess for what the skeleton of the team might be. I don't really know if it's good.
Yeah, so who would you have leading that team? With this Iron Man?
I think Iron Man's leadership is not what you want into Web Warriors because, like, Web Warriors are evasive, right? You can't expect to be doing a lot of damage to them or getting many attack opportunities, and that limits your power generation and your options for rerolls.
Okay.
I think you're probably playing Nick Fury because you're expecting that Web Warriors are going to be ahead of you in victory points. Firstly, I think Nick Fury is a more useful model against Web Warriors because I think the grunts are really useful.
That's fair.
And I think Iron Man is not, I mean, he's fine, but he's not particularly useful against this like stealth evasive team. Right, he's not very mobile and he's range 4, right?
Yeah, poor action economy.
Yeah. And I think like Nick Fury's leadership is not going to do much in that game, but I wouldn't be surprised if you get in a situation where the webs are ahead on VPs. And then the grunts sort of become really unappealing to attack, or their all webbed up turn starts to look really bad because they start to hemorrhage VPs when they target those models. And I think I would probably be looking for that. I'd also be looking to have Nick Fury use Eye on the Sky specifically to stop things like Venom Blast and from Miles and Spider-Woman Spender to try to limit the number of steals and just using it not to preserve damage, but to preserve victory points.
Okay.
And you know what? That team actually sounds really cool, and that sounds like a fun game. So maybe it's closer than I think, but I still feel like Web Warriors have all the natural advantages, and Shield are the team trying to catch up.
Nope, I agree with you. So moving along then, we have Wakanda, Guardians, and Webs here.
That's our top three.
Let's talk about the Guardians and Webs matchup. We've talked about this a lot, so I think it'll go the quickest here. Obviously, pre-Cosmic, we felt it was Guardians favored, but it was close, correct?
Yes. And you know what? I doubt sure. So I think the majority of people thought it was Guardians. So I'm willing to say it was, but I think it's Web's favored.
Okay. So post-Cosmic then, you're heavily winning Web's, and I imagine.
Yes. So we can maybe do an episode on this at some point, TT, but I went to the Mutant Weekender event, 7-round event this past weekend. And in that, I took Web Warriors. I played against two Cosmic Ghost Rider Guardians teams. And so it's quite fresh in my mind, as well as having experience with them in other games, like casual games and in the TTS League and all that kind of stuff. And it just reminded me that the way that Webs lose that matchup is when CGR just goes off and kills your whole team. And if CGR doesn't do that, it feels kind of hard to lose. because so many of the Guardians characters that do damage do it from range 4, and they're really inefficient at dealing with a lot of the webs. And the webs are so far up in points, and they've got so many bodies, like playing a wide team, which is what I prefer, that for Guardians, it feels like you're on a timer and you are just going to lose the game if you can't start aggressively removing models. And CGR was the key to that. And in games where CGR underperformed, webs just rolled over Guardians. And then the games got closer and closer, the better CGR got. And when games where he overperformed, then the Guardians rolled over the webs. And now that his performance has been reduced, I have to think that that gives Web Warriors the edge in the matchup.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there. So then the way I envision this breaking this down then is, in what does Wakanda look like into webs?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this. I've been playing a bit of both teams recently, and it's interesting because they're doing kind of... Both teams have certain things that I don't know. I kind of think of them both of having quite a lot of similarities in some ways. So, for example, All Webbed Up and Wakanda Forever are both incredible cards for like one turn of like big swing, right? A big swing turn, massive tempo, right? Make your activations that turn really effective, do something really incredible. They also have a lot of mobility, quite a bit of displacement. Wakanda has more damage on demand. Webbs has like a deeper character pool, although that's debatable. I don't know. I think they do. And there can be overlap, right? Like Webbs teams have been known to take Okoye. They've been known to take Black Panther. I quite like Black Cat. I like both of the three threat Spider-Men, Miles and Peter, in Wakanda. And I love Amazing Spider-Man in Wakanda. So the teams can end up looking really similar. One of the big differences is Wakanda spends a bunch of their tactics cards early to get a big early lead with Advanced R&D, Spirit of Wakanda. Their turn one is way better than Webbs. But then Webbs, of course, have more tactics cards in the bank and certainly can catch up. And they can start to swing things in their favor later on. So that's kind of how I feel like the matchup goes. Who wins more than the other? I don't know. What do you think?
So what crisis do you envision Wakanda taking in this post-cosmic nerf era, right?
Great question. Because obviously beforehand they were doing maximum speed. And are they, maybe they don't anymore. Maybe they go more mid-range.
And I think that's a question. Like I think some Wakanda rosters are still going to go pedal to the metal and want as many scoring things as possible. I think others will settle into almost this like Avengers type crisis package where like, you know, we're going to brawl out in the middle. We're not going to have the fewest number of points, but we'd like some amount of points with some fighting involved, right? Like just like mid-tier stuff.
Yeah, I really like with Wakanda, I really like having the 4 point extracts, so Skrulls and Hammers. And the reason I like that is because if you have priority with those, you take, there's like one that's safe for either team, right? And two that are contested. And if you've got priority, you take one of the contested ones. You use Spirit. Your opponent takes either their safe one or the contested one and use Amazing Spider-Man to take the other of those two. Mm-hmm. And so you've got two, they've got one, and the only one left is your safe point, which is really unappealing for them to take. And so you can often go 3-1 on extracts when it's a four-point extract. But the problem with that plan was feeling like it wasn't enough extract points on the table against murder teams. Mm. And I was feeling like, well, maybe I still need to just go for like spider infected cubes and either paranoia or mutant extremists just to get more points against Guardians. But now I don't think you do that, right? I think you can take Skrulls, you can take Hammers, and then take one something else of your choice. And so that helps them. I don't know if they start doing fighting down the middle. I don't feel like they're a very good fighting down the middle team. So I don't, because obviously against Webbs, like I would rather have Gamma Wave or Demons Downtown than anything, but I think probably against the wider game, that's not the right move for Wakanda. I think probably you're still playing very similar secures to Web Warriors.
Yeah, and I think like we talked about before, I think Webbs just comes out ahead there, right?
Yes, probably. Like I said, I think Wakanda starts off winning the game, but at some point, the Webbs are able to catch up and swing things. And I think both teams are really good. And I don't know. I feel like I need to give the pip to Web Warriors right now because that's how we've been feeling. But I don't have a high confidence threshold on that.
Okay. And again, a lot's changed. My gut goes with you there. So then we've got two pips for Web. So they're going to win the bracket and this round here. But like, let's talk about Wakanda Gardens.
Can I add one thing?
Of course.
Just like against Spider Foes, I think new King T'Challa could be really good against Web Warriors. Having said that, I think Black Panther, original Black Panther, is really good against webs because like Web Warriors just can't hurt that guy and he could terrorize them. But I think T'Challa could be really interesting. His place effect gets around Spider Tracker and his damage output is nuts. And he could just murder three threat Web Warriors.
So, okay, let's talk about Wakanda here for a little bit. You were talking about like which roster was better, webs versus... My problem with the Wakandan roster is like their second best character is the same as their first best character. They're both
Black Panthers. Yeah. Yeah. You can't take them both. Yeah. Oh, man. If you could take both of those guys together, if like one was like Black Panther's dad or something, oh, sign me up.
That would be insane. They're just like, yeah, just nine threat of extremely fast moving. Good damn it. Yeah.
Be awesome.
Oof. Be real good. I understand why it's not that way. But yeah, I just feel like it falls off real quickly after them.
Yeah, you're right. I think the average character quality is higher in webs. Tactics cards are great for both. Leaders are great for both. In some ways, Wakanda is more flexible. Because
I agree Wakanda is more flexible.
But that's leaning on unaffiliated options, right?
Yeah, but webs is just really good at what they do, right?
Yes.
And like...
They're both great teams. This is true for Hellfire as well and Guardians and a bunch of other stuff we talked about, right? Like everything in this second bracket apart from Sentinels is really good. But yeah, I would probably give the edge to Webs.
Okay. So we've got Webs taking down the event, taking down our little bracket with, of course, a caveat. And that caveat is we don't really know a lot of stuff changed recently.
Yeah. Anything can happen. It'll be really interesting to see how the meta game shakes out, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we hope you found this enjoyable. Again, the thought here was to really highlight the individual matchups where, like, maybe Wakanda isn't the third best affiliation on here, but just, in, you know, the way they drew, talking about the individual matchups they had, well, hopefully we found that beneficial then. Let us know what you think of the Cosmic Nerf. You can talk to us on Discord at acrossthebifrost.com/Discord. If you would like to support the podcast, you can do so at Patreon, patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. You can find all of our work at acrossthebifrost.com, as well as the work of so many other great MCP contributors. We do want to sincerely thank each and every one of you for listening. And until next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.